told you something, something I'm not supposed to say. I thought I was going to lose you that day. And I sensed that you felt it too. There was a moment right after the first child came out and you started crashing. And at that, the little voice in my head kept saying, you're going to lose the mother. Save the children if you can. But you came through. You survived. You survived just to lose a child. And then a husband. And still, what a thing you made of it all. What a big, messy, gigantic, spectacular thing. I said it to you once, I say it again. You're as tough as they come, Rebecca Pearson. And you, my dear, have earned a rest. William?
Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us Too. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC. So sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. Hi, everybody, and welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
Oh, my name is Blake. And yeah, talk about having a good cry. Holy smokes, did I cry. Did I cry this episode?
Right from the jump.
Within the first 2 minutes of this episode, I was crying, and I was in shambles during that scene with Dr. K. Shambles, just because Dr. K is one of my favorite characters of This Is Us, just like an inherently good person.
Yeah.
And what he meant to that family, and what a spectacular cameo by Gerald McCraney in this episode. Just one that you don't forget.
Yeah.
You don't forget that. You just, man, special, special, special.
It was a beautiful episode of television.
Special episode of television.
If people have watched This Is Us penultimate, you know, series episode, they obviously love This Is Us. This is not an episode that you just like turn on because you're like, let me start this new show.
Yeah.
This isn't it. You're here because you love Rebecca. You love this show. You love these characters. And it's so interesting because we're recording this on the night that the show finale airs. I've just been super ill the past few nights.
Well, first you were away, which we couldn't do the show, and then Mary's been really ill. So, as I said to everybody on the pre-show, give Mary all the kudos for being hockey tough.
So, you know, it's just a really weird feeling to kind of be podcasting about death on the day of the final show. And also, it's going to be so interesting to see how the finale is, because there is some finality in this episode, the train. I mean, heck, there's a caboose. So what comes after a caboose? We will find out. But before we get into the rest of this episode, we want to remind you, since This Is Us 2 is going to be closing its doors at some point soon too, which just breaks my heart, we want you to stay in contact with us. You can find us by searching Mary and Blake on all social media fronts. I will tell you the ones that we are the most active on are on Facebook and Instagram. You can also go to maryandblake.com. And we have a exclusive Facebook group where you'll be amongst friends who understand what lemonade means, the power of lemonade. the power of a single word, hey, we're there. So you just go to Facebook and you search Mary and Blake, and we would love for you to join in on that group. And a huge thank you to all of our friends at jointhenerdclan.com who for as little $2 a month have made this show possible and continue to make it possible. So thank you all so much. All right, let's get into the show.
Let's do it. All right, Marvin. Well, this episode was entitled "The Train" for obvious reasons because Rebecca was on the train. It was a great metaphor for going into the afterlife and revisiting all the parts of her life. And a fun, quick bit of trivia: the train idea was not ideated necessarily by the show writer and the episode writer and show creator Dan Fogelman. It was actually one of KJ Steinberg, a fellow producer of This Is Us. So just a fun bit of trivia there about that. The director was Ken Olin, who has directed 15 billion episodes of This Is Us. If you want to know about all the episodes that he has done, just go to IMDb, do that on your own time. You can look at all of them there. They're all spectacular for the most part. And the writer, as I mentioned earlier, was the show creator and showrunner, Dan Fogelman. He has written also a ton of This Is Us episodes. So if you want to look at the ones that he has written, go to imdb.com and check those out there. All right, Marvin, this is the big one, kiddo.
Yes.
It feels very much like a finale. So I kind of want to have that kind of conversation a little bit. But before we get into that, what is your Lemonade rating for this episode, The Train?
This episode is a 5+.
Yes.
End scene.
That's it.
How about you,
Blake? You know, Mary, I wrote down 5.
I noticed.
And if I wanted to be ticky-tack about it, I could.
Who, you?
I know. And I got a poof. You know how we talked about last time there was a 5+ for the Miggy episode? We said, you know, it's not like a full thing,
yeah,
but it's a poof.
Yeah.
You know, I got a poof.
Okay, I do too.
But I'm going to go 5+. Mm-hmm. This is one of those episodes of television I'm going to remember forever. And I think that's how I want to grade
5+.
5+ is like, will I remember this forever? And I will. So yeah, 5+ for me. All right, what do you got for your GBG? You're good, you're bad, and you're great.
So of course, in typical GBG fashion, when it is a 5+, it's a good, great, and a best.
Yes.
Friends joining us live, feel free to put yours in as well. My good is Rebecca remembering the caboose.
Yeah.
The book and just the sign, you know, as she had such difficulties remembering that word. Gosh, was that last season?
No, that was the first episode of this season.
Okay. Felt that long ago.
It does.
So I just loved that we got to have this metaphor of the train, but remembering that the caboose was such a difficult thing for Rebecca.
Yeah.
I just thought that was very poignant. My great and Peggy.
Peggy finally showed up.
Peggy.
I think it's been all season, essentially.
AKA Annie.
Yeah.
We saw Annie doing the pickup in the car when she was picking up Deja in
yes.
the like fast forward back when it was a fast forward.
Yes.
And we've been making note of how infrequent the Wee Pearsons have been on this show. And of course, we know that it was filmed during COVID, which just made things extraordinarily more difficult. You think about, you know, I was talking about it with somebody and I was like, kids on a set in general are hellacious. Not the kids themselves, but just the conditions because they are held at a different standard than adults. Mm-hmm. Kids on a set during a pandemic and they can't even be vaccinated. Like the little ones?
Yeah.
I don't even know. That's why you have doll babies. When when Nikki is picking up a baby from Kevin's car, turns into a doll baby right away.
Yeah. That's how it goes.
But I loved that Annie had this special moment, and out of all of the grandkids were there. We got to see Jack. We
Peggy
got to see
has
Haley.
This moment.
We got to have Deja. We got to have Tess. And the only grandchild who we see speak to Rebecca is Peggy.
It's a wild choice when you think about it.
I loved it. And I loved not only that she was the only one to be there because we were worried about little Annie.
Yeah.
But what she said about being small and mm-hmm. not being afraid to be loud. And there you go. She's just a little quiet, maybe reading in a corner because Rebecca told her it's okay. So I just thought that was lovely. And I loved that.
Yes.
Because it has been something we've pointed out. And then my best is just that the evolution of death and what else is to come was shown in a very beautiful light. Mm-hmm. And it was much like my new plant parent book that I referenced last episode.
I will give you credit, Mary. Here
pretty
it
much
is.
Everything William said was in the first chapter of my new plant parent.
You called it. You called it straight up.
William has houseplants.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. He's a plant dad. He's definitely a plant dad. No, you called it. The writers were probably like listening to our podcast, being like, damn you, Mary.
And your plant book.
Stupid plant mom book. But yeah, you called it. Absolutely. I thought that was
funny. I was talking about death with some friends this week while I was away. And I've been told several times by psychics that I'm going to pass early. And I, in my bones, kind of know that too. Mm-hmm. And I'm usually not wrong when it comes to intuition things. So I was saying this to some friends as we were talking about this episode. And I said, but I'm not afraid. Like, I don't think I'm going to pass tomorrow. But I also don't think that I'm going to be like the lady on Titanic with like my hot necklace making an impact in the world. But I love that death was portrayed this way. And I think as we grow older and as we lose more people in our lives, that this is going to be a really helpful thing for us to lean on, is this visualization.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. For me, my good is actually kind of your great, which is the depiction of death and the transition
so
to
morbid.
Death. Yes.
Do I need to go get the black eyeliner from Kate?
But I mean it in a way that it was very warm and, like, if that's the way that I'm going to go, then that's the way that I want to go. And it also quite reminded me, Mary, of a show that we have a lot of history with, one that we love quite dearly.
We have to go back, Kate.
Oh, it reminded me, spoiler alert, of Lost, that finale in many ways. And I'm not going to say it's a direct rip from Lost, but it's a cousin of Lost. And I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. Because it's just so beautiful in its own way. And it's beautiful and abstract and simple and full of life in its own way. The same way that the Lost finale was. So I was really impressed by that. So that was my good. My great is absolutely the Dr. K scene. I understand that people love the Beth scene. I get it. And I think there is, you know, I think every scene has a valid option to being everyone's favorite for whatever reason that they deem is their favorite. But mine is Dr. K simply because, you know, Rebecca's life as she knows it really began at the hands of Dr. K. And for him to be there at the end, when he was there at the beginning, mm-hmm. for her, such a special moment. And again, it reminds me of Lost, where it was like you meet these people in your life and they play such a huge role in your life and you don't realize how large of a role they're playing. It could be someone you met for a day or 2 weeks or 5 years or your entire life, but they still hold this significant portion of your existence, regardless of how long you knew them. And for him to be able to, like, when he says, I kept that in there at the top of our episode for a reason, when he says, William, like, he's just like, he's allowing Rebecca to keep going. Mm-hmm. Like, I get emotional thinking about it. Mm-hmm.
What makes you so emotional?
I don't know.
Like, what do you think about?
I think about my mom. Mm.
It was really poignant. Blake started crying right away. And I did cry in this episode.
Yeah.
But it wasn't waterworks like Blake. And I was talking about it with my dad an hour ago on the stoop. He said, oh, you got a big night tonight. I said, yes, Dad. Hopefully the Tylenol kicks in. But he was asking, he said, you know, are we going to have waterworks tonight for the finale? And I said, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think it'll be like a beautiful, we're going to all have a Randall tier.
Oh, yes, definitely.
We're all going to have that. But I said, Dad, the way that I'm seeing this is that the death happened in the penultimate, and the shock and the death and the sadness.
Yeah.
And that tonight, the finale, is going to be the happy memorial celebration.
Yes.
Like if Rebecca was, I don't know, what nationalities have more of a party? Irish.
Irish, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and Malone. Yeah, Rebecca Malone. She would be Irish.
See, this is why. This is why we're having a celebration. In my opinion, the finale is going to be more of a, you know, when you walk at someone's funeral and they've got all the pictures up and everybody's hugging. Oh, do you remember when Rebecca went to the grocery store and lost her mind?
Yes.
How about that time in the cabin? Good thing, you know, not that either of those were funny, but I'm just thinking of extraordinary big things, but... That's what I see it's going to be more like. It's actually the standout moments that they get to share together.
Yeah, I agree. And so I really liked that quite a bit. And my tie, well, I got a tie for the great, and I'm sorry, the best. And the first one is the fact that the show, in a way, it actually kind of reminded me of the... like that abstract, almost ethereal feel from the Outlander season 5 finale.
I
mean, that was dark, man.
No, well, when Claire was like disassociating, and like everything was just heightened, everything, like the colors were heightened, you know, the red dress, and there were things that were happening around it that made it feel a tad psychedelic, if you will. And I'm not saying that This Is Us went that far, but it was close. And it was clear that this was wrapping up This Is Us as we know it. And it, you know, had all the little Easter eggs and all the little callbacks and, you know, the terrible towel and the whole thing, right? But it was just, it was such a... you say it felt like an out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
And things were happening around you in the show where you felt like you were right in the train. And people were in a position in one shot, and then they were missing in another shot. Or they were in a different position as a different
version
of themselves. And like it was just such a – it was very like – I also want to say like Stanley Kubrick – like, you know, when you're watching The Shining, things are happening around you when they, like, probably shouldn't be happening around you, but they are. And you're in this, just this in-between state of realism and psychedelia. And I really liked that. But my real great is the Jack scene at the end. I mean, just a spectacular signing off of that episode. I couldn't imagine another way to end it. It was simple. It was, I think it was just remarkable how they decided to end this episode. And I'm here for the way that they did it. It was perfect. Like, especially when you consider Jack being that person who always had these big grand gestures. And for Rebecca to lay down and say the words that Randall said to her to tell his dad, which is "Hey," and she does, and he says it back. Like, it's just such a beautiful dichotomy.
They just took the song "Helpless" in Hamilton.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Hey, hey, hey. And just took it to a whole new level.
Oh, absolutely. And it was just so simple and poetic. Yes. And so, Mary, you know, we got a lot of voicemails to talk about here and to get to, and a lot of people had a lot to say, obviously, as we've discussed. You can tell how good an episode is. It's generally tied to how much feedback we get, and we got a lot. So I want to get to that because everybody deserves a platform.
Okay.
But there's a few things that I want to talk to you about. First is, if this were the finale,
yes,
would you be happy?
Yes.
How come?
Big old bow. Hay turned into a bow. I need a big old bow when I finish things. And this did it. I almost feel like I don't need more. I feel satiated. I feel full.
Yeah.
I don't know how tonight's going to make me feel. I mean, I doubt it could make me feel bad. I just feel so good that I'm like, what can make it even better? How can this get better?
That's a great question. I don't know if it can. Well,
what is missing? What do we still need after this episode? Aside from where did the Oscar come from?
The only thing I would say,
which doesn't even matter anymore. I'm over it. I actually thought about that. I'm done. I don't need to know. If it's not answered today, I'll be okay with that one.
Yes, I agree. We don't need to know where the Oscar came from. I would say that if there was anything that I had to wrap up, it would be the big three, their final journey with their mother. Like, because that episode was such a beautiful goodbye to Rebecca. But how are we saying goodbye to the big three?
See, I feel like I did. They all got their happily ever afters. We know that Randall becomes senator, but honestly, I don't need anything more than that. We need to see his daughters being successful and happy and starting a new generation of the Pearsons. I mean, how beautiful is that? That a new generation of this beautiful and complex family is now starting through Deja and Malik. Kevin, we know, lives happily ever after with his love story in that gorgeous house with his kids, with a real or maybe not real Oscar. We don't know, but we really don't care at this point.
Married,
it could be chocolate.
Married.
We know that Kate, happily married to like the most sweet and just straight up gonna tell you, I hope I have some orange chicken. Beth, this is why you're my favorite. Or it was Edie, this is why you're my favorite.
You know I saved that for you, baby.
Yeah, like love. Taking her curriculum across the seas, like all of them took the big swings. And so I don't need to know anything else about them. I don't need to know anything else about Jack.
Yeah, because I feel like we have a good handle on him. Like he became a big music star.
I don't need anything else. I'm like very happy. And anything else will be great. Just can't turn her into a Harry Potter epilogue, okay? That's all I'm saying is I don't need some like extra weird. Luckily, this crew knows how to doctor people up so they look a bit older.
Yeah, sure. Good point. Because the Harry Potter people.
They should have taken notes.
You're a wizard, Harry.
This is us.
You know, like that was just.
Not great, Bob.
You know, Linda here on Facebook says the big three are all good because Rebecca made them good. I think that's a fair argument. I think that's a fair argument. Like when Randall says, we're good, Mom, everything's okay because you made us okay. Like,
nope, I do need something.
What do you need?
I need a tree.
Yes.
If there is no tree tonight, that's going to be a bigger issue than an Oscar.
You know there's got to be a tree.
It's going to be a bigger issue than Annie, and that is saying something.
There's got to be a tree.
All right. So we got that. Yes. Could it have been a finale or not? We are going to be playing our friends' voicemails. If we do not finish everything, I do have a hard out tonight. There's a finale. We will do, I think there's going to be like a part A and a part B of the train.
Okay.
And then also the finale. So just know that we probably won't get through everything tonight.
Yeah.
Because we need to also talk about the Marcus situation.
Well, yeah, let's do that right now.
Should we say, okay.
Let's do that right now. Okay. Because here's what I'll say.
Okay.
I understand the, and this is my poof, okay?
Oh, I thought your poof was Miguel. You wrote down Miguel was your poof.
I did, but
anyone named with an M is Blake's poof.
I'm kind of retracting that poof a little bit.
Which one?
The Miguel poof.
Okay.
Okay. Because I kind of get it. I've heard some reasoning why it was. Let's talk about Miguel.
You just got to play the soundbite.
Good. You know what? Good point. Because everybody, you know, if I
everybody could, felt this way.
If I could find, oh, here,
you're my favorite person.
I've been sleeping on my boy Miguel.
After that reaction, no matter the explanation, you all know Mandy just smiled, or Rebecca just smiled. You're my favorite person. She smiled. Like, yeah. And we all had that soundbite go through our head. We thought Toby was going to peek out from one of the seats. You just made us fall in love with Miguel two episodes ago. All
right, let's do the Miguel thing.
Okay.
Did they do Miguel a little dirty in this episode?
Yes.
Answer my question.
Yes or no? Yes.
Yes.
Am I on trial? Yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean it like that. I meant was like.
No, I've been watching just TikTok clips.
Oh, so much
I know what I'm supposed to do. Please just answer the question. Object. Yes.
All the Johnny Depp.
And then I have to rephrase it to you differently.
Can't get enough. I can't get enough of Johnny Depp.
Okay, continue.
Sorry. So, did they do him dirty?
There's a lot of other bigger issues that the world needs to be focusing on, including a finale. Did they do Miguel dirty? Did who do Miguel dirty? The writers? Rebecca?
The writers.
I will say yes.
I think so too.
And when you look at it from the big old macro lens, I'm okay with it. But the fact that I just fell in love with this Christmas inflatable loving man even more a mere couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. So here's what I'll say to all of this. And the reason why I'm retracting my poof of him being done dirty is because we did have that beautiful episode of him, which was the other 5+ of this season for me, right? So we had that moment for him. We had that thing for him.
Like, you can't have her being like, I love you, Miguel, but I'm going to go shack up with Jack in the caboose.
Yeah.
You can't have it be like that.
So, and the other way that I see this too is like, people are saying, and here's some of the reasoning that I'm seeing. Oh, well, it's okay that Miggy wasn't given a whole thing because Rebecca in her dream, in her passage is young. It's Rebecca in her prime and she didn't know Miggy and all nonsense.
I mean, she knew Miguel.
No, but like she didn't know him the way that she knew him when she was married to him. Because
Rebecca on the train looks to be a 30-something Rebecca who was married to Jack. Rebecca on the train looks like Jack's not dead version.
Exactly. So people are saying because Rebecca is that version of herself, she doesn't see Miguel as the husband she spent time with later on in her life.
Okay.
But to me, that's full of garbage.
Well, then you have little baby Jack and Toby.
Right. If that were the case, she wouldn't recognize or appreciate all of her children that were in the much older versions of themselves. She wouldn't see Jack. She wouldn't see all the... Like,
you want to know what I would have
loved? It's just garbage reasoning.
I didn't need a kiss. I didn't need a I love you too. I needed him to hand her an apple. That's all I would have needed.
Oh, that would have been great.
That's all I would have freaking needed.
And
was there an apple next to him? There was something red on the table, and I thought it might be a Christmas decoration because that would also be apropos.
Or a glass of wine.
Or a glass of wine.
No friggin' Merlot, though.
But, so in that moment, y'all been sleeping on my boy Miguel, but then I'm okay with it, actually. I'm really okay with it.
That's why I'm retracting my poof, because you can't have this big, huge goodbye. You can't have this big, romantic, sweeping thing. And then go into the next room in the caboose and have it be Jack. You can't do it. Mm-hmm. Like, it would have been, I don't want to say underhanded, but it would have just been
a little double dipping.
It's double dipping here a little bit. Now, here's something that I want to pose to you.
That's what she said. No? I said, you don't appreciate my joke?
No, you are right.
That's what she said.
Here's what I'm going to say to you, Mary, and here's a proposal that I think would be fitting.
Okay.
If you switched the roles between William and Miggy. Mm. If Miggy was the one guiding Rebecca through the train.
I don't think he could have taken her to the caboose.
That's great.
I'm all set with that. I loved it being William.
Oh, no, I did too. I think William was the perfect choice.
In my mind, they came in order that they died. That did William die before Dr. K and then Miggy died? That's how it came in my mind.
Yeah, but Miggy died after Dr. K. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
That's what
right.
I'm saying.
Okay, yeah, so that
I
makes
wondered
sense.
If she met them on the train in the order that they died.
That's fair. That's fair.
That was my explanation in my head. I don't know the timeline. But I'm okay with it. I think that because we did just have that beautiful episode with Miguel, we are okay. And he is okay.
Yes.
And I think, you know, to be dead Miguel, knowing I'm not going to go shack up in the caboose with her right now. And that's okay. She still is my favorite person.
Yeah, like it's
you are allowed to have multiple loves.
And you're also allowed to have a love that transcends another love, right? Like you're also allowed to be in love with the person that you were meant to be with. Like, and it's the show's tacit acknowledgement that yes, Miguel was great and he served Rebecca so well and she the same for him. And they both helped each other and brought each other along and he cared for her and gave everything to her. But it's okay to acknowledge that the true, I mean, straight up love of her life is Jack.
Yeah.
It's okay to acknowledge that. It doesn't yes. demean Miguel's love. It doesn't
Rose
diminish
and the Titanic
it.
Always pined after Jack. I mean, if your name's Jack and you die early, you win in the caboose.
Kate pined after Jack too in Lost. Oh, yes. Yes. You're welcome, world. Oh, you man. Are welcome. If I could find my freaking sound.
We have to go back, Kate.
You're welcome, the Lost fans. I'm gonna bring up Lost
so Miguel,
as many times
we're
as
gonna
I can.
Be okay with it. We are okay with it.
Yeah, and the other thing too is like something that and which goes against the reasoning of the whole, well, Rebecca was young and she didn't Miguel still says to her, "You're still my favorite person." Mm-hmm. Like that in and of itself oh, is an acknowledgement
so
of after the whole Rebecca in her prime thing. Mm-hmm. So like that's such a garbage reasoning.
No, what? No.
That it's okay that Miguel. No, it's just okay because it makes sense.
Yes.
It just makes sense.
I'm fine. I'm fine with it. Okay, we all want to get to that caboose.
And it makes sense to me that William was the guide as well. Because it's like to me it's just poetic. Like I can't find a perfectly valid logical reason why William is the guide. But when I see it and I know the role that he played in Rebecca's life.
Well, I think about how probably both of them would reflect that the biggest mistake they ever made was related to each other. That like their biggest regret in all of life, something that monumentally changed them.
Yeah.
You know? So for William, of course, it was everything that led to him dropping off Randall. And then for Rebecca, it was keeping this lifelong secret away from her son.
Yeah. And the fact that there was the third baby was
Kyle
was acknowledged like in a way that, you know, he
and
was.
And Dr. K?
Yeah, by Dr. K. Like when he says, you know, and you lost this baby. You know,
just, you weren't listening to me, were you? I was just talking about William and Rebecca.
No, I know, but
you
remember,
were not listening. You just
I
jumped.
I was totally listening.
No, you're just talking about baby Kyle.
No.
And I'm on a different planet.
Listen, I will play the sound, but I absolutely was listening.
No, friends who are listening, you can send us a message. Was Blake listening? Yes
no.
or no?
I was listening because Randall was initially named Kyle and they changed the name. And William was the one who gave the poem.
Okay.
See?
Okay. See? Okay. Okay.
I gave you the sound. Fair? Fine.
Kind of.
The fact that that was acknowledged, I think it was an important thing. Mm-hmm. And
Marcus.
This is my poof.
My poof too.
And it's not that the Marcus storyline is irrelevant, but it's like you tried a little too hard.
Listen, I have hated every other person that has been involved in this show that is not part of the Pearson family. The Pearsons don't like anyone.
Ooh, hashtag who are they?
Exactly. So as we roll up into this 90s-ish family, which I knew the timeline.
Yes, you did.
Blake was
all the clothes.
Blake was saying, what do you think this is? And I said, look at that hospital furniture and look at those clothes.
Look at the dad's sweater.
Yes. I said, that's 90s, baby.
That light blue cable knit sweater.
I said, that's late 90s, early 2000s. I was in a hospital a lot during that time.
Yeah.
Kept breaking bones, man. What? It's true.
I know it's true. Totally true. Listen, it's not the fact that the story being included is wrong for me, because I kind of like it. Again, you're looking at it from a big macro standpoint, right?
I thought his body parts were going to go to the kid.
That's his heart. What I thought.
I thought it was going to be his heart.
Oh my God, I thought so too.
And then I was like, but he had a heart attack, Mary. They're probably not going to give Jack's old dead heart to this kid. Oh my God, we need a heart. Well, there's one right next door. I don't know how good it is. Hey, but it's free.
It's there.
It's here.
We got it in the ding and dent section.
It could be the flat tire of the hearts until we get a new one.
Anybody got some Fix-A-Flat?
I really thought, so at first I thought heart, then I thought no, broken.
Yeah, not
then I thought maybe there's other body parts, but then I was like, burnt.
Yeah, well, no, he wasn't burned.
There was smoke inhalation. They couldn't take like lungs.
They could have taken like his spleen. They could have taken like his liver. I don't know.
He was an alcoholic.
Oh, good
they
point.
Cut him open, say, skip that.
Nope. Lungs?
He was just in a fire.
Good point.
Fail. So needless to say, I'm going through the Rolodex of why Marcus was useful.
Goatee.
And I realized body part harvesting, you know,
sure,
wasn't really going to be the thing.
Organ harvesting.
Thank you.
There, I got you. Organ donation, if you will.
Yep.
I have some people here on Facebook saying they would have liked Jack thanking Miguel for taking care of Rebecca and his children in this episode. I wholeheartedly disagree, because this was about Rebecca. This is not about Jack and everybody else.
I think we'll get that in the finale.
I think so too. Yeah. I think there's going to be some things, again, I don't want to say psychedelic because it's not, but just ethereal. I'll use that word. Okay. There's going to be some ethereal qualities in this episode that may rhyme with the train. And that's why, again, when I think about William being, I think William is the perfect guide for Rebecca in the train.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, like when he puts on his hat, like that's our final goodbye to William. Like that's William, like putting the hat on and going away. Like, okay, thank you so much. Like such a special moment,
agreed,
right? Like the attention to detail, you know, if it's Dr. K holding the terrible towel, or there's, you know, the Lundy cups behind him, or, you know, Kevin with his younger self giving him the John Smiley card, or, you know, whatever, or young Kate with the bugs in the jaw, you know, like the whole thing. The attention to detail is just exquisite, but the artistry of William being the guide, someone who loves poetry and the journey of life and understanding the journey of life, where those things take him and how he accepted it, and being able to guide Rebecca in a way that I don't think anybody else could.
Agreed.
I don't think anybody else fits that role. The only other person, again, I would argue would be Miggy.
But what I loved about William is he wasn't her family. Once again, the Pearsons are a tight-knit crew, and there are very few extra people. And he's, you know, Pearson adjacent.
Yes.
And I feel like she couldn't have been brought by one of her kids. She needed someone who was more her equal, versus someone who she's mothered, who she's taken care of, who she slept with. You know, things like that.
Yes.
Everyone else was either a kid or so hoo-ha, because we know Dr. K kid did too. At least with William, there was a little dignity.
Sorry.
Was that in the writer's room? Who's going to take her down the train? Let's cross out anyone who's seen her hoo-ha.
Who hasn't seen her hoo-ha?
Or drinking from her ta-ta. You're welcome.
Yeah,
I may be sick, but...
You're still bringing the A-game, Mary. My poof with Marcus is that there was an intentional fake-out.
Agreed.
That I don't like. Because if you're going to tell me a larger story, the big macro point of view of this is us...
You gotta stop saying macro. It's becoming the dichotomy.
Okay, fair enough. The big picture of this is us, I understand. Like, the
life... The way that it switched...
Hold on, let me just say it. the artistry of it and the rhyming of it, I love it because, you know, Jack is given this piece of information from Dr. K, who uses it for the rest of his life. It becomes a thing. Then he passes that on to another family member, to another family that he doesn't know, and that family uses that thing for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. Like, I like that. And when Jack dies, this kid lives. When Rebecca dies, there's a baby on the way with Deja. Mm-hmm. Like, it's life and death and moving Mufasa. On and yeah,
circle of life.
The circle of life. All of it together, it's just this big tapestry of life and death, and it goes back to that dopey painting, as William says, mm-hmm. of Kevin's thing, when he's talking to the girls. You know, it's life and death, and it's messy, and it's full of mess ups and fun and anger, and it's just this big tapestry, big painting.
And which that whole episode was. I mean, as Rebecca's dying, we've got the light coming in, the kids playing Foursquare. You know,
yeah.
Deja being woken up by Malik, you know, celebrating this new life.
But when the Marcus thing tried too hard in two facets. One, it was a fake out. It was an intentional fake out to make you think that was Deja's baby daddy. And I don't like that.
Agreed. Because she goes from, oh, he's always working late, so I haven't told him yet. You know him. He's always working late. And then we cut to a late night working man.
Yeah. And like
Marcus.
That to me is disingenuous, and it's there for the sake of being there. There's no narrative usefulness to that edit choice or that writing choice. One or the other. There's no narrative use to that choice. Mm-hmm. Other than it's you know what it is? It's Padme admitting that she's the queen in the Phantom Menace. Like, there's no narrative purpose for her to come out and to have that fake out at the end of The Phantom Menace. Hashtag spoilers. It's just there because it's there. And I don't like that. The other part that I don't like is that eventually Marcus tries to find a cure or whatever it is for
pancreatic cancer.
For cancer. But then it ends up turning into a thing for Alzheimer's.
Yes.
Which is great if he was inspired by Rebecca to do so, but he never was.
That's the whole point, though.
But it's trying way too hard. Trying way too hard.
The Marcus storyline was my poof in the sense that I don't care about anyone else. Hashtag who are they? I just don't. And I don't want to spend my last precious moments with the people who I love so much, spending a great amount of time with people who I don't know. But in my third, fourth, fifth watching of this episode, when you watch it a lot, you realize the impact that you have made on others and never even know it. You know, you could have done something that saved someone's life. We could have said something on a podcast that inspired someone, or you know, you could do things that truly make a massive difference, mm-hmm. and you'll never know. And how beautiful that adding this little sunshine of lemonade has now been able to help two fathers in terrifying moments.
Yes.
And be able to create truly beautiful, complex lives. You know, Marcus was set to be the MVP of the soccer game. He had a whole different life that he and his parents had probably planned out for him.
Yep.
And instead, he did take his passion and his determination that it takes to be an athlete of that level. I don't know, but I assume towards his research. So I don't know. Sometimes it's those things. It's the beauty of art that, like, you may never know who you impact. That made me look at it that way.
Yeah. And Mary, on the whole, I agree with you. I that's why I like the Marcus inclusion, because it does give you a larger representation of the messiness of life.
So why are you poofing that he found a cure or worked towards Alzheimer's research and had a big breakthrough? Because I think that that is phenomenal.
Again, it's not to say that it's not phenomenal. It's just that it's just trying like if it was just, let's say for the sake of argument, okay, in my world, I'm writing this show, okay? And I'm not here to write a better show, but in my world, I'm writing the show, all right? The way that I leave this story, it's Marcus is somebody that's trying to find the cure for pancreatic cancer. And he thinks he's got it, and he doesn't. And then he goes to the restaurant to meet with his brother and his sister, and they say, and they do the whole...
So everything is the same so far.
Life is lemonades and yada yada, and you know, and you make lemonade out of it, whatever. And then you end it there. That's it. You don't have to do the whole Alzheimer's thing. You don't have to do the whole like giving them a prize for, because it's trying just a little too hard in my book to wrap it up too pretty. Like you had the right thematic ending for that story with the like hope and the love that the life and the lemons and all that stuff okay. for that family.
I was okay with it. It just took too much time for me. That was my poof.
Fair.
Can we get away from our poof now and focus on the things that we love?
Out on the poof now. Good. Okay.
Got it all out.
What else do you find that you'd like to talk about in this
episode? So as I said, we're going to be cutting this into a part A and a part B. Is there something that you strongly wanted to get out? I would love to have something that we loved since we just poofed.
Good point.
Just so you know, listeners, Blake is going to go out. He doesn't know this yet. He's going to go out in between now and the finale and go get the items for Vesper so we can have fun during the finale. Oh, he is so shocked. He just choked.
Oh my goodness gracious.
I did love, I will tell you when I started to cry was Beth. When Beth was speaking to Rebecca,
I would agree with you on that.
And then it flashed between the younger and adult version of Beth, and it goes from speaking in real life to then going over the loudspeaker, and that being the first person that Rebecca really starts to hear on this train, saying, you know, I'll take it from here, and complimenting her as a mother and for acknowledging the complexity of Randall. I just loved, I mean, she acknowledges her own awkward relationship with her mom, and for so many people who have that with others, you know, I think about you and your dad and how the relationship is nothing and how
less than nothing,
but like how my dad has now influenced you.
Yes.
As a father-in-law, but thinking as a father. And, I was thinking about you with my dad during that speech.
Really?
Well, yeah. Like, I don't have anybody that... Listen, I'm not really death adjacent yet, okay? I've got nobody. Your mom's not alive. Like, I can't think. I don't know.
Yeah, because... Yeah, no, that's fair. I'll give you that. Because in a lot of ways, I'm just trying to do my best impression of your dad.
Exactly.
So I find that a fair thing
I'm just
say.
Making things up as I go, so...
And with that, Mary, I think the one thing that I will say that I truly loved in this episode is the balance that it brings. Again, Mary and Blake Commandment. When you are writing a show, it has to be balanced. And I asked you earlier, if this was the finale, would you be happy? Mm-hmm. If this was the finale, I would be happy. Mm-hmm. Because this is how you do a finale. Like when you want to close a story out, whether it's the last season or... three seasons in, six seasons in, whatever, doesn't matter. This is how you do it. This is the kind of thing that you watch and you say, there's a lot of stuff happening here. There's a lot of mysteries to close out. There's a lot of emotions to get to. There's a lot of people to get to as well. Mm-hmm. And you have to do it in an artistic and thoughtful manner. This is how you do a finale. And... wildly impressed by how balanced it was, because it could have come off two ways. Could have come off way morbid and like really depressing, or it could have come off wicked cheesy. Mm-hmm. And it didn't at all. All of it was earned, and it rode that beautiful line of like some cheese and some morbidity, like, but it wasn't maudlin. It was just right. It was a perfect celebration of life and love and happiness and sorrow and anger.
It was a dichotomy.
The dichotomy. And in a way that is not necessarily religious, but in a way that regardless of your religion, you could look at that and say, yeah, that makes sense.
You know, it's something that we have, we've talked about this is us. They've been very careful not to have religious aspects brought into the show. Mm-hmm. And there have been many an opportunity for that. You know, when, whether you're talking about weddings or just children. I mean, truly, like the only holiday references that are religious have been through Miguel's eyes, in my opinion,
yeah, yeah.
Miguel's influence. So I just think it's very interesting for us to be able to watch this episode about death, about passing, and they're still able to make it accessible no matter what your belief system is.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, here Kathy on Facebook says, oh, Toby, she gives a big heart. That's right. Toby is in this episode and he's making a joke to Rebecca about her liking him more than stupid Philip mm-hmm. on her deathbed.
Loved it.
Like, that joke could have come off really bad, but it didn't because it was within his character, number mm-hmm. one, and it provided, like all, like Beth throughout the whole episode, mm-hmm. it provided great amounts of levity mm-hmm. and perfect balance. Like, it was Thanos all over again.
All
balanced. like everything should be.
Yes.
Just, it's just a beautiful, beautifully written episode. And it does a thing that I'm surprised of, which is it closes out This Is Us completely, mm-hmm. leaving the finale tonight to be its own thing. Mm-hmm. What do you think? I know we have a hard out here. We have a couple minutes.
Tonight's going to be like a yearbook to me. It's like senior year, and then you go look back at your yearbook.
Yeah. Do you like this choice?
Yeah. I'll take anything extra I can get. But that being said, this is part 1A.
Yes.
And we are going to have a part B of the penultimate episode. But we do have the finale to watch tonight. And so listener voicemail, as well as much more discussion about this episode, including all the Easter eggs, in or out, you name it. It's going to be happening later this week. Please make sure that you are keeping your eyes on our socials. I do have a complimentary text system. If you're in the U.S., you just text the phone number 81010 and in the message field at Mandy Moore. Just all together, the at symbol Mandy Moore. And I will send you a text when we go live for it. I don't want you to miss it, but I also have erratic pain. So I'm not able to give really definite times of when I can podcast.
All right.
All right, friends. Thank you so much. Can't wait to watch the finale tonight. Can't wait to talk about it with you. And
let's close it out.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Finale's coming up. And we're going to watch it tonight. We're going to have some fun.
I just said all that booby trap.
I know. Well, you know, we got to close it out. There's a process. Okay. As Mary said earlier, we're going to have the part two of this episode later on. It'll feel kind of funny, but whatever. So what? We're going to do it anyway because all of y'all called in and we're not sleeping on any of you.
Listen, if we just hung out with Marcus, you can have an extra episode of This Is Us too.
Yeah, I know, right? And it's just one less excuse for us to say goodbye. So, all right, everybody, go watch the finale. Enjoy. Don't cry too much.
And if you do, Vesper.
Use all the Charmin.
All the Charmin. All right, friends, my name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
And this is us too.